Thrilled to have Patrick Dolan from Conti Dolan Law. Thanks, Patrick, John. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, despite the weather. Very happy to be here.
I know. It's a little bit of a bummer.
Easter, I think that was pretty dead on.
You like that little joke?
Yeah, it was good. It's pretty, I almost laughed.
Thanks, Patrick.
That's okay.
I tweeted it out. It's got like six likes or X'd it out or whatever you want to call it.
You're maxed out at six.
Yeah, I maxed out. Right. And you're an employment lawyer.
I am.
And you know, I think a lot of people go through life and say, I'll never need an employment lawyer. I'd say, I don't know, one out of three, one out of four of us at some point in our lives will maybe need the services of someone like you, maybe even more, just to even set a stern letter every now and again.
Well, if you have a job, you might need one.
Yeah. Anyone what sorts of job? Things do you do?
So anything during the hiring process, if you feel like you're discriminated against in not getting the job, something happens at work, you feel like you're mistreated or treated differently because of who you are, gender, race, sexual orientation, something that's protected under state and federal law. And upon termination, you know, if you feel like you're wrongly terminated. And also, non-competes are still a big issue, John.
Yeah.
People think they've gone away. They have not gone away.
Right. I think we've heard that they're not enforceable, and
back
Illinois has raised the salary threshold for
right.
them.
To $75,000.
Right.
Just people
so
aware.
Under that amount, they are not enforceable.
Clearly, no matter what. That's right.
But above that amount, they certainly still can be.
They still can be, and they still are for the most part. At least you should assume it's enforceable until somebody tells you differently.
So you're able to poke holes in it. That's your job.
Right. It is.
How can people reach you, by the way, Patrick?
312-332-7800.
We got a question on the text line. This may not be quite your area of expertise.
Let's try it.
We might need to pivot over to an expert in the... Well, let me just read the question.
Go ahead.
I own a small business. I have three employees, so this is a pretty small business. I had one employee that was hit by a car walking in a crosswalk coming into work Friday morning. No broken bones, took 2 weeks to heal up before he could come back to work. I'm assuming since it didn't happen at work that workman's comp does not apply. Could you please discuss this? I know workman's comp is not your area
of expertise. That's why I sent it to Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Theriault.
Right.
I will.
I don't know if on your way into work, if that can consider me a workers' comp case. I don't know.
I don't know.
But Ryan, our good friend Ryan, would know that.
I'll tell you what, texter, Ryan Theriault. I will try and text before the end of the hour and try and get an answer from them. 312-981-7200 with any of your questions. You do have an update on this law that we kept on talking about Chicago. Basically upping the amount of time that all employees, essentially all employees, are entitled to take as time off. Not sick time, which is 5 days or 40 hours, and that's a state law that's already been in place and a city law. This is on top of that. There was back and forth, and they finally settled on 5 days. And it was supposed to start in January, right, Patrick?
Yeah, well, you have a couple of things with the Chicago paid sick leave and paid leave ordinance. So you have two different things. And the law was scheduled to go into effect January 1st of 24. They just like a couple of days ago, pushed it back to start July 1st. Of 24.
Why the delay? Just to get everyone's ducks in order?
It passed in the middle of November, so I think some employers were really panicking as to, you know, changing policies and practices, and it became, I think, untenable, and there's a lot of pushback from employers, big and small, frankly, about having to comply with that Chicago ordinance. So the law, which is now going to go into effect on July 1st, among other things, allows for 5 days of paid sick leave and 5 days of paid leave for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's now going to go into effect in July.
And as we've talked about, that the employers, at least as of the revisions that I read, are allowed to have some rules about, like, you can't just say I'm taking 5 days starting tomorrow.
No, you can't.
Just because I'm going on vacation. Companies are still going to be allowed diligence to choose how that's administered, right?
Right. There has to be some reasonable accommodation on the part, you know, discussion between employer about when is a good time to take the leave, unless you're sick. And you don't, I'm talking about vacation leave.
Right.
But that's already the case, though.
Okay, so I've got a question.
Sure.
What do businesses have to get in order to necessitate a 6 month delay? You would think it's just like, well, here it is. Is it handbooked? I mean, tell us the legit reasons why a business might go, hold on.
It is.
I got to get ready for this.
Well, I think it can be, especially for large employers with a vacation and sick leave policy that does not at all comply with the new Chicago ordinance. You do have to change. I mean, if you have hundreds or thousands of employees, that's a lot of change that has to go into effect. You know, 4 to 6 weeks from the time a law is passed to the time of its implementation, that is very quick.
Yeah.
And so I'm frankly not surprised. I was surprised when they initially said it would go into effect on January 1st. I thought that was too quick.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think this is more reasonable.
Got a question from the 708. I work in one of the western suburbs. My employer only has 3 handicap parking places, and there are approximately 300 people employed there. The spots that they have are near the office, and I work in the production of the factory. The company officials will not create any more parking spaces, even though I have a legitimate handicap. Is there anything more that can be done about them to make them create spots near where the production employees go in? That's a good question, right?
It's a really good question. It's a public accommodation question under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it sounds like where he works, there's where the employee works, there's no handicapped spots close to that entrance, and this person is handicapped, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's an issue for the employer. It seems like a very simple accommodation to create a handicap spot for this person.
Near where they enter.
Right. Because it's not reasonable if the handicap spot is nowhere near where they have to go into their place of work.
Yeah.
And if they're handicapped, that's the whole point.
Right. Right? It seems like they're benefiting benefits may be the wrong word. They're accommodating only to the quote unquote white collar workers in the office, but not accommodating to the folks that have to work in the factory.
Yeah, I think the issue is more they can perform that reasonable accommodation by providing a spot where the handicapped person enters.
Can this texter call you on Monday?
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to help.
And you call you at 312-332-7800.
That's right.
Right. You ready to take a question?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Cheryl in Crystal Lakes. Hey, Cheryl, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you got for us?
I worked at a company for 38 years. When my supervisor retired, she told my managers that I was retiring as well within the month, and I had no plans on it. Basically, when I told my manager that, he said, well, I'm not in the budget. I managed to get him to give me 6 more months of work, and then they made me retire because they said I wasn't in the budget. 4 months later, the company sold. They gave everybody who was there a percentage of their salary times the number of years they had worked there, which meant I was out an awful lot of money at that point.
Wow. Okay, so hold on. Let me just make sure I understand, Cheryl. You had a supervisor who retired, and on that person's way out, they just thought they'd mention, oh, and by the way, Cheryl's leaving in the next month, even though you weren't. So that boss thought, oh, okay, now I've budgeted. I'm in my head, I'm changing the budget around. And when you said, hey, no, they're like, sorry, I've already budgeted. I'll give you 6 more months. And that not only hurts you for not having the job longer, but then when they sold this company, you missed out on the windfall. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
Patrick, your thoughts?
Yeah, so during that 6 months, you were an employee, your regular salary, et cetera, benefits, you were not on any kind of leave. Is that correct?
Correct.
So 6 months later, then, you were terminated. 4 months after that, the company is acquired, and folks are getting paid out, as they usually would, under some sort of severance scenario. You get nothing, right?
Correct.
So here's the issue. The question is, did they know about the acquisition either initially when they're trying to push you out or 6 months later? Because in my mind, if they're pushing you out to avoid paying you compensation that's due to you, then that's a claim. You have a claim under Illinois law for compensation, okay? But if the company says, no, it had nothing to do with that. We thought, you know, we didn't have it in the budget. We gave her 6 months really as a separation package. And 6 months later, you were terminated. And then 4 months later, having nothing to do with that whole scenario, the company was acquired. That's a problem. So that was a long way of answering your question. I'm sorry. But that's a difficult scenario to show that you should have been provided the same severance package as all the other people 4 months later.
What I'm really looking at, Patrick, is 2 separate issues. This idea that someone said you were leaving, so then they thought you were and changed it. That seems like a squirrely way of firing someone, essentially. Saying,
yeah, you know, but is it illegal, though? Probably not, frankly.
Okay.
I mean, I'm focused on whether they were trying to avoid, she's been there 38 years,
right,
trying to avoid a pretty big separation package. Let me ask you a quick question, Cheryl. Were The folks who were let go 4 months later, did they get separation pay or compensation pursuant to some larger separation plan, or because the company already had a policy or something like that? Do you know?
What I know is that the company was aware they were going to be sold 2 years prior. They were working on the package.
Hmm.
The manager of the department knew that they were being sold because he was in the doing the paperwork for it, helping him out. He was the one who said, I wasn't in the budget. People who stayed after they knew the company had sold, they were given this bonus package as a reward for having worked for the company. Mm-hmm. Those who left when it was sold did not get it.
Mm.
Okay, now I'm much... Now I'm much more concerned about the scenario on your behalf, because if they knew at the time that you were, quote unquote, not included in the budget, you should have been provided that same separation package like everybody else.
Right. It almost seems like, and how funny that they said, all right, we'll give you 6 more months, and then the company was sold 10 months later. It's almost like they knew the date it was going to happen.
No, I would like to talk to Cheryl.
Cheryl, you need to call Patrick, okay?
Because I think you're due a separation package just like everybody else.
Okay, what is... I'm looking for
no, a pen. You're good. Get a pen. Get a paper. You're
what
good.
The number that I call?
What's that?
What's the number that I call?
312.
Mm-hmm.
332. 7800.
7800. Okay.
Thanks, Cheryl.
You're
happy to talk with you.
You're going to be the office Monday, Patrick?
All week.
All right. Cheryl, call Patrick on Monday or Tuesday, okay?
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Patrick, you need to follow up with us on that one.
No,
that's an interesting one.
No, I am. But can I just make a quick larger point?
Please make that larger point.
Okay. Thanks, John. I know you're anxious to hear it.
Yes.
So that happens all the time. You know, folks are pushed out before certain compensation is due to them, whether it be a bonus or a commission or severance. You know, severance if you know if they're not employed on a certain date. That happens a lot, and so those are common issues where companies trying to save some money.
Are you going to send a letter first? Is that the first step?
Yeah, I'm going to have a really
strongly worded. With Karen Conti's biceps at the top of the
right.
letterhead.
Yeah. Yes. It's a very strong lady.
That should be your letterhead for Conti Dolan.
I should just forget me.
Your face and Karen's biceps.
Right.
And being
Karen's
like,
impressive.
Don't mess with my
right.
my
She's
people.
A bodybuilder. So
the letter might scare. I wonder who you write the letter to, the company that acquired him or the...
I would start, well, that's the company that exists now. So, okay. Yes, that's where my letter would go. It would be a demand letter, and we demand compensation
okay.
that should have been paid to Cheryl,
right.
plus some other things.
Yes, for sure. 815's got a great question. I have worked as a financial advisor for 15 years at a bank. And this person gets it. We're not saying employers' names.
No, we're not.
We'll never do that. They were recently acquired by another bank. The new company offered me $2,000 to sign a non-compete. Is that enough compensation for a large book of business?
It can be. It depends how much the person makes, to be honest. Mm. I wouldn't. My gut says it's not inadequate. It can be enough, yeah.
Can you ask for more?
Sure, of course, and you should. And everyone should plead their business case. You know, oh, that's not nearly enough. If you want to prevent me from competing with you after I leave, it's not nearly enough. So... Yes, you should
always
ask for more.
Yeah. Okay. 847, I was offered a job following a phone and a Zoom interview. So offered a job. I began the orientation, and they discovered that I'm obese, and they rescinded their offer. The job didn't require physical activity. I have many years doing the same thing somewhere else, and I have a doctor's note saying I was medically cleared. Ooh, this one is troublesome.
It is. If they... can do the job. The question is obesity protected under the ADA?
Great question.
Yeah, and it typically is. Okay, so, you know, there's a little bit of a back and forth
American
on that.
American with Disabilities Act, by the way.
Yes, sorry. American
is it one of the things that's not, like, laid out in
yeah,
words?
Yeah, it's a little, it's not as clear as some other protected, quote-unquote, disabilities, I will mm-hmm. say that. But if they can do the job, I think they have an ADA claim, yes.
And there is something that you've always talked about, that once an offer has been made, certain things cannot happen during those next phases, right, of training, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, at that point, can you perform the functions of the job? And that conversation can get a little deeper at that point, but if he or she can, despite their obese condition, then they can.
Also, like, yeah, it's that just seems very strange. I also wonder, did they say we're not hiring you because of your weight?
You know, I think it's also interesting is they said they were on a Zoom interview.
Yeah.
So they were offered a job after the interview. You see the people on the
right,
job.
But, like, I mean, there's different things and people have different. Maybe it was one with one person that you're hired and then the different.
I think the whole thing's very problematic.
I agree.
Under the ADA. Yeah.
It's very rude. 312-981.
It could be illegal, John, which is worse than rude.
True.
It could be both. It could be both, John.
True. This show is called Let's Get Legal, where we solve people's problems. We don't just solve what was rude or not. Although, a lot of your work is deciphering those lines, blurring those lines.
Yeah,
because people can come and be like, I hate my boss. They're so mean to me. And they present all this evidence to you, and you find...
And they use the word harassing a lot, and I don't doubt them for a second. The question is, was it illegal? Retaliation, same thing. Was it illegal? People are retaliated against all the time in the workplace. I have to figure out whether it's illegal or not.
This is an interesting question for the 847, kind of generally speaking. I was in sales for years. Companies would hire a big sales staff, keep them for a couple months, and then let almost everyone go. It always appeared companies did this to avoid paying commissions on months of sales work done.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's sort of what I was saying earlier. That absolutely could be a violation of the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act for failure to pay commissions due to those folks. Absolutely.
Would it be like during their probationary period that are not entitled to all the commissions they earn on sales?
Yeah, no.
That doesn't seem to make sense.
No, and it doesn't make sense, and it's probably illegal, frankly.
All right, well, 847, if that happened to you, although maybe they survived all of these firings, good for you.
Right, I don't know.
But if that happened to you, listener, call Patrick Dolan at 312-332-7800. I'm going to give this first half hour a 10 out of 10. These are great questions
coming
in. Really
good questions. Really good.
See, I mean, like, there's so much that employment lawyers can do for us. And that's why we want Patrick Dolan on our side.
Thanks, John.
We've got Patrick Dolan here now. In the next hour, Ed Wallace from Wallace Miller talking about, was it mass tort?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
I've heard of class action. I don't know exactly the difference with mass tort, but guess what? That's not your question to answer, Patrick.
It could be like a plane wreck or a train. I don't know. He'll explain it.
You took us to a dark spot.
Oh,
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know.
847, what is employee recourse? Oh, if you're just joining us, Patrick Dolan is an employment lawyer with Conti and Dolan. Yes, of Karen Conti and her bicep fame. And are you having problems with that microphone, Patrick?
No, I'm fine.
You're always squirrely about the headphones.
Well, you know,
Leonard, you guys want things so particular. You guys are both going to be in the studio next week.
Oh, yeah. You want to explain that a little
bit? We're going to do the trial of the Grinch.
Mm, look forward to it.
It's going to be fun. You're going to be handling the prosecution.
I'm prosecuting the Grinch.
And federal defense.
For multiple offenses.
Many offenses.
Yeah.
That are outlined, and we will outline and play them along.
Is that 1 o'clock?
It's at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. We'll do the trial of the Grinch, and then we need 12 callers to be the jurors to tell us guilty or not guilty.
Got it.
Unless you guys settle.
We are not going to.
You're not. There's
not
no chance.
With Mike.
Even though he came back and was okay, and never mind. We'll get to it next week.
Not settling.
What is employee recourse from the 847 for restaurants that don't allow employees to take breaks? Who do employees call? Obviously, they can call you, and I can say that, and I'm sure they can do it. But are there other avenues?
Yeah,
in which
you can file
it
with the Illinois Department of Labor. I mean, it's that's where you would go with that. Yes,
because you're entitled to breaks.
Yeah, well, you're entitled to time for meals. It depends, how long you work. If you're entitled to a break, but generally speaking, yes.
Okay, so you deserve those breaks. Call the Illinois Department of Labor, or you.
Or me, sure.
You'll send a letter.
Yes, I will. Happy to send a letter.
I was going
to
make a joke about a restaurant, but I'm like, I'm not going to say any
names.
Don't
do it. Okay. No, don't say the name.
Let's go to Tom. Tom is in Batavia, fine western suburb. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
What do you got for us?
I have a question about this new state law. When you get to 5 extra days, is that on top of if you already get vacation time?
No. So let's just clarify here. There's a new city law, the city of Chicago. That was the expansion of the 5 sick days, and then it was 5 anything days. And that's just for in Chicago employees. That is not on top of anything, right, Patrick?
No. That's a minimum standard that employers have to meet. Employers in Chicago have to meet. It's not on top of what the employer already provides.
The state did do a 5-day sick time mandation That went into effect this year, right?
Yeah, but just to be clear, none of that is on top of what the employer... Okay. These are just minimum standards that employers have to meet. Does that make sense, Tom?
If you already get sick time, then that's already compensated for those 5 days.
Yeah, you ain't getting anything bonus.
No, it's not going from 5 to 10.
You want to try and work with me, Tom? You want to lobby with Springfield to ask
for
more?
I'll work with you.
Well, I just want to make sure that we get everything we got coming. And some people don't follow all the rules.
Amen.
It's what I do for a living,
You're
Tom.
You're absolutely right, Tom. I always wonder, I'm like, why wouldn't an employer follow the rules? And Patrick...
Sorry,
you used to work.
Sorry,
you used to work for employers.
I still do. No, I still have some employer clients. Okay. It just
they all follow the rules.
Of course they do, because I'm their lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it behooves employers. Honestly,
let me just say, you know, there's a lot of employment laws. I'm not letting anybody off the hook,
mm-hmm.
and they change a lot. And so, unless you have legal counsel helping you with the changes and going through your handbook and your policies, and it's easy. To, you know, misstep when you're talking about employment laws.
Right.
It really is.
Right, exactly. So you still have some employers. That's why you can't bash employers too much on the air.
No, that's why you fall
a little short.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is from the 312. I am a teacher in a highly affluent school district. Good for you. Nice. With parents who are extraordinarily demanding.
Uh-oh.
I'm shocked. Were the parents Patrick Dolan?
Is this one of my kids?
What is the response? Okay, serious question. What is the responsibility of our administrators, or the bosses, to protect teachers from parents who bully and harass teachers? What an interesting question, because the employees are the teachers,
right?
The service they're providing is, I guess, their customers are kind of the students and the parents. But this isn't like your normal like transactional relationship.
This is like a subset of employment law, the whole education law thing, mm-hmm. about, you know, teachers being harassed and bullied by students and what obligation the school has to protect the teachers. First of all, they do have an obligation.
They do.
And there are very specific processes that they go through when a teacher alleges harassment or bullying by a student. And there's, you know, and claims are brought to the school district, who goes through a whole investigation process to determine what needs to be done to protect the teachers. So there's a whole process that they go through.
Were you and you would never bully a teacher, Patrick, but were you super involved?
I was pretty involved. I tended to talk a lot, and so teachers would just be like, well, not as much as you, John.
No, I don't mean when you were a student. I mean when you had your kids in school. Were you at all the PTA meetings? Were you at every parent-teacher conference?
Yeah.
Did you like them reading Madame Bovary? Did you protest that or something?
No, I did not protest that. I just want to make sure my kids were, you know, doing what they should be doing. That was really, are they doing well and not disturbing anybody in class?
Man, teachers these days, they have to go through so much.
I know.
Because parents are so, not all parents, of course, they're just very demanding. And now we have parents who think that they should know every little line of every single book that ever gets taught to a kid. God forbid they learn something different or a different viewpoint in the world. And they feel like they have full control over the curriculum of every... I'm going on a soapbox,
aren't
I? Wait,
can I just say something that'll just embarrass my son?
Please.
Real quick? So his teacher during one parent-teacher conference when he was young in grade school said to us, please, could you please stop your son from making animal noises during class time?
How old was he?
He was, I don't know, fifth grade or sixth grade or something like that. Wasn't like, I don't think, maybe he was in high school.
College freshman.
College freshman. But a lot of, I said, I did not know that. Sure, I'll talk to Noah about that.
My teacher, God bless her, Mrs. Sloan at Hillcrest Elementary School in Downers Grove. She was so nice. One day after school, she told me, she's like, Jonathan, my teachers call me Jonathan.
I'm going to
and my mom,
yeah.
And she was like, you know, you're sometimes your mouth moves faster than your brain does, and I was like, what do you mean? She's like, sometimes I think it would be beneficial if you were to stop, think the whole thought through in your head, and then speak. And I don't think that lesson hit for me until I was like 34 years old.
I'm not sure it has yet.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that a lot as I sit here listening to you.
Well, now I get paid to do it. This needle has to keep moving,
that's
Patrick.
True. That's true. That's a good point.
I don't always have
time. See, it turned out well for you.
It turned out great.
Now, I don't know about my son and the animal noises. Right. I don't think that's going to help him.
I'm in the one profession where I am paid to literally start talking before my brain processes what I'm about to say.
You're great at that. That's for sure.
Because if these needles stop moving, I get a call from the boss.
You're in trouble.
Right. There's only so much help I can get.
And I have to talk.
All right. Tom has got a great question in Naperville. Hello, Tom. Man, it's Western Suburb Day here on WGN. What's
up, Tom?
Trying to get to the health club, guys.
All right. Go ahead.
Here's the question. So if I get 3 weeks of vacation, I don't use, say, I got 10 days left. I've heard some companies by law have to be able to give you 5 of those carrying over to the next year. You know what the scoop is on that? Carrying over vacation days.
Yeah, so Illinois does not require employers to carry over. It's a use it or lose it state, as they say. When you separate, they have to pay accrued unused, but they don't have to. You don't have to carry over anything. That's going to change with the new law, though. Because you'll have a certain amount to carry over.
For Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But not for the suburbs.
No.
California gives you 10 extra days out there. My counterpart gets 3 weeks plus an extra 10 days. That's a California law, which is just, of course,
that is like a whole different thing going on in California. I started my practice for the first 7 years as an employment lawyer in California.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, Tom.
Good show, guys.
Thank you.
Good show.
You can work out knowing that question has been answered.
Sorry. Not favorably to him, though, that answer.
Right. No.
Yeah. So just use it all right now.
Yes.
Think about what you're going to do while you're working out.
Exactly. There you go. John, society's different now. Parenting is different now. Yeah, sure is. 847 wants to know who qualifies and does not qualify to be on a salary position without overtime.
You look confused.
I am, but you're about to help me, I think.
Right.
So as long as you understood the question,
I did. I do perfectly.
Okay.
So exempt positions under the Fair Labor Standards Act tend to be grouped in 3 or 4 categories. One is executive. One is professional. One is administrative. Let me just tell you the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Do you manage people? Do you have discretion to make decisions with regard to how you do your job or how other people do your job? Okay, there are certain salary thresholds that have to be met, compensation.
Meaning that those people can't claim overtime.
Right, they're exempt from overtime.
Okay.
Right? So it tends to be management who are salaried exempt. Now, you don't have to be, if you're salaried, not to confuse anybody, if you're salaried, you don't necessarily have to be exempt. There's salaried non-exempt. That's unusual, okay? But you're paid a salary, but your duties do not exempt you from overtime. But those duties, generally, management-related.
Okay, but what about a lawyer who works 80 hours a week? They don't get overtime, right?
No. Professional. That's in the professional category.
That's under the professional.
There are 3 or 4 general categories, right.
So professional is a separate category.
Yeah, it would could be a really long answer, but I'm just trying to generalize it.
Well, this person is the same person that asked about the restaurants. If someone works as a server and they're working 48 hours, they should get 8 hours overtime,
right?
Yeah,
they're not exempt from overtime.
Okay, and is it by a day? Like, if you work 9 hours, do you get one overtime?
It's weekly in Illinois.
Okay.
40.
So if you
it's not daily. We don't have daily overtime here. It's weekly.
So if you work 12 hours in a day, you don't get 4 hours overtime mandated.
No.
But if you work 12 hours in a day every day, you would get, that would be 60 hours, and then you get the last 20 would be time and a half.
Correct.
What about holidays?
No. Nope.
Okay. The 847 wants to know, this is a follow-up, what if the manager is doing the same duties as the underlings? Do managers qualify for overtime then?
They can. It's duties-based, not title-based. It's duties-based, so yes. And I run through positions all the time. People are, is this exempt, is it not? And then you just have to run through all those questions, so yes.
So it's not title?
No, it is not.
So if you are...
Companies often do it by title.
Right.
It's what you do, not what you're called.
I guess what I'm saying is maybe the 847 is suggesting that they manage some of the other servers at the restaurant. This is an example. But they're also a server. They do all the server work, too.
It depends on what your primary duties are and depends on how much you make.
Sounds like this person needs to call you.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of questions we'd have to go through.
312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. We appreciate the questions. Ooh, and I got an answer from Ryan Theriault.
Ooh, good.
About workers' comp. It's a long paragraph. I'm going to read it during the break.
Okay.
Make sense of it. And by that, I mean Patrick's going to make sense of it.
Perfect.
And we'll reveal the answer about someone getting hurt.
I knew he would know.
He would know. About someone getting hurt in the crosswalk on their way to work. Are they entitled to workers' comp? Earlier in the show, we had a text from the 847. I own a small business with three employees. I had one employee that was hit by a car walking in the crosswalk coming into work Friday morning. No broken bones. Needed 2 weeks to heal up before he could come back to work. I'm assuming since this didn't happen at work, that workman's comp does not apply. Could you please discuss this? Patrick doesn't do worker's comp. You know a lot about it, but you told me, and I agreed that I should text Ryan Theriault from Theriault Booth out of St. Charles that does worker's comp. They come on the show, and Ryan got back to me. He says there is a doctrine called the traveling employee doctrine. It would depend on what they do for work. If they have to travel off-site for work, it's likely covered. And I guess that would mean like, hey, I need you to go to this other building to do this task and bring
like
back.
Like a site location for whatever it is.
That doesn't sound like this situation.
Nope.
Or alternatively, if the employer directs them to park where they did, they may also have a claim. Meaning, here's our building. The parking lot, though, is three blocks away.
Right.
You have to park there.
Because you're, quote-unquote, on duty, I guess, right?
That's what I would think.
That's the theory, at least.
There may be an issue as to whether or not they were in the course of their employment, which speaks to time and geography. For example, were they at work during work hours, like maybe on a lunch break or on a break or whatever? It'll be very fact-specific, which makes sense.
So I don't think we have enough facts to determine what the answer to that question is.
Right.
But Ryan could, if given more facts.
Right.
I think that's where we are.
Right. Although this is the business owner, so I don't know if they want their employee. But it doesn't hurt the business.
Yeah.
You would want your...
Should know.
That's the other thing about workers' comp that Ryan always stresses to me and his brother and their other partner. They say that when you sue your company... Well, I shouldn't even say sue. Mm-mm. When you file a workers' comp claim, it is outside the court system. You are not punishing your boss. Your boss pays insurance on workers' comp. Now, could their claims go up the next year or their premiums? Maybe a little bit. But you shouldn't take that into consideration.
Totally
even if
not.
You love your boss, you are due what's due for you.
Yeah,
I don't know if this person
pays. That's why employers pay in workers' comp insurance.
That's exactly why. It's mandated here in Illinois.
It is. Yes, it is.
I have to pay workers' compensation
for
my one employee company, which is me.
Just don't trip and fall.
Well, if I do, I'm covered by myself. It's a really weird world I live in as a contractor in certain jobs as well.
For sure.
312-981-7200. The 331 says, I'm very excited about the upcoming Grinch trial. What a great idea. I love that.
So am I. It'll be fun.
That'll be fun next weekend. 847. Oh, this is the restaurant worker who's asked a couple questions now. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for answering my question. I have worked in a variety of positions over the years and always knew all these activities companies were pulling on their employees were illegal. I ended up going into teaching. Love working with children and love the protections of a union.
See, it all works out.
Good for you. And Karen left her name. It was Karen that was asking those questions, who is now teaching in a union. And unions, just generally speaking, Patrick, that's a whole other world of employment law, isn't
it? It is.
And the things that, and sometimes the union rules and agreements, do those sometimes supersede state and local laws, or do they often work in conjunction with them?
Oftentimes they'll supersede. A lot of state and federal laws have carve-outs for collective bargaining agreement terms. So, yes.
Like, what would be an example off the top of your head? Sorry to... Your eyes got really wide there.
Well, I would just, like, there's a lot of them. A lot of federal and state, wage hour laws, discrimination
overtime laws.
Overtime laws. A lot of them will defer to terms in a collective bargaining agreement. By the way, the Chicago ordinance that we're talking about carves out for collective bargaining agreements. So a lot of stuff like that.
Okay. 847 says, Burke trial predictions? No, let's not do that.
No, I don't want to. I could. I'd like to. I'm going to stay away from that one.
847 says, I think he'll walk free and clear. Well, that's what they said.
Okay, that's what...
I'm not influencing the jury, am I? It's what one texter thought. I shouldn't have said that.
That's okay.
Let's strike the last 20 seconds from the record.
Yeah. May or may not happen. We'll see, John. We'll see. That's what we're going
to
say.
It'll be interesting. I'm sure Mike Leonard, if we find out in the next week, will have something to say after the Grinch trial next week.
When he loses the Grinch trial.
Patrick, we got about 2 minutes left. Why should people be calling you? Maybe some of the scenarios we haven't talked about today. This next year, I'm entering a phase where I am now in another protected class where I'm going to be 40.
Wow.
That's going to be exciting because they can't discriminate against me because of my age.
You look pretty good for 40.
Well, I'm only 39. We'll see what happens next July.
Seven months?
7 months.
A lot can happen, John.
Right. We did get one last question in. I'd rather do that than talk about me turning 40. 630 wants to know, my employer's PTO had a cutoff of December 31st. Because of a new program, and people can't take PTO right now, so that cut the PTO off back in March. Problem is, I can't cut off at 80 hours, and you can't keep the accrued time from January to March 31st. Can they do that? I think they're saying that it rolls over to the next, I don't know. PTO is really confusing, right?
It is, but let me just say one thing real quick. So if there's a change in the PTO policy, an employer cannot force people to lose accrued unused PTO. You know what I mean? Just because you're changing your policy at any point in the year, and that employees have the right to either be paid out what's in their bank or have it exist under the new policy. You can't lose it. Employers can't force you to lose it.
Could that policy be you only have 3 months to use it?
Could be, but it depends. Is that reasonable or not? What's going on in your job? What's going on at the company? If it's not, if you don't have a reasonable chance to take it, then no, that's not reasonable.
I just want to make sure I understand. So if you have a bank of 80 hours that used to roll over and they've changed the rules and they don't, or now we're less time or there's more restrictions on it, they have to give you a reasonable accommodation to use your PTO.
Or they have to pay you out. You cannot lose right to vested, i.e. accrued unused paid time off when the policy changes. They cannot take that away from you.
You know everything, Patrick. Okay. Oh, no. What other reasons should people be calling you, my friend?
Well, that one.
That one, yeah.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. And still a lot of non-competes and compensation questions. We've been through a lot of separations recently, a lot of companies with a lot of layoffs. So we talk reduction in force under the Warren Act, maybe, you know, as a group or an individual. So a lot of separation discussions I'm having, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
It's not showing up in the numbers, but.
No, I know. I saw those numbers, and I know you're all over the numbers.
Yeah, the jobless claims and such. Well, maybe it's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, exactly. After January, it'll be good.
Or people are getting laid off, but they're quickly finding other jobs.
Exactly. I think that is happening.
Okay. Patrick Dolan, what number can we reach you at?
312-332-7800.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. See you next week for the trial.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.